Here's a few quick notes about the show. Southern Girl Crime Stories is a podcast focused mostly on lesser-known true crime cases that range from murders, missing persons, cold cases, soft cases, and more. Please be sure to check out my YouTube channel for these stories, along with photos of victims, suspects, locations of murders, and more. Amber Lynn Wild was born on March 26, 1979, and grew up in Campbellsport, Wisconsin, and in 1997, she graduated from Campbellsport High School. Amber was described as a very intelligent and dedicated person. After high school, she enrolled at a local community college as a pre-med student on a full scholarship with the ultimate goal of becoming a pediatrician. Even though the program typically took 2 years, she was able to obtain her associate's degree after only 1 year. She then transferred to the University of Wisconsin in Green Bay to continue her studies and got an apartment in the 2000 block of August Street. On September 23, 1998, 3 weeks after arriving at the school, she got into a minor car accident, but it didn't appear she was seriously injured. However, she did have a headache from her head hitting the windshield. So it's possible her injuries were worse than originally thought. That evening, the other person involved in the accident called Amber to work out the details of getting their cars fixed. All seemed fine until her father attempted to call her the next day to make sure she was awake for her afternoon class, but received no answer. She then missed her scheduled eye doctor's appointment. So her father decided to drive to the apartment to check on her himself. When he arrived, he found the apartment door locked, and with no way to get in, he called and reported her missing. Over a week later, her car was discovered unlocked and abandoned in the parking lot of the Sideline Sports Bar just west of Lambeau Field, next to the Roadster Inn. It's of note that in 1998, this bar was called the 50-Yard Line Sports Bar. Regardless, all these buildings have since been torn down and built over. Inside the trunk of her Subaru, they found her purse and cell phone. This wasn't unusual because she was known for keeping these items there. Strangely, her keys were still in the ignition and the driver's seat was pushed all the way back, indicating someone taller had driven the car. The car also allegedly had 900 miles that were unaccounted for. If you're like me, you're probably wondering how they could determine that. The only thing I can guess is maybe she recently had an oil change and the miles were noted on the paperwork. If you have an idea, please let me know in the comments. At the time of her disappearance, she was 4.5 months pregnant by a man named Matthew John Schneider, whom she'd met at a party in May of 1998. Since she was dedicated to finishing school, her aunt offered to help take care of the child until she graduated. Amber told her family that Matthew, who was engaged to another woman, had denied being the father and didn't want his fiance to find out about the baby. So, Amber took it upon herself to inform the fiance and Matthew's mother. According to Amber's diary, Matthew was pissed after this and began demanding she have an abortion. However, she refused, and so he made several attempts to meet up with her. When police questioned Matthew, he downplayed their relationship and denied having sex with her. However, they would soon discover phone records that showed they had spoken about 60 different times. They also found it strange that he was not concerned about her disappearance, especially since she was pregnant with his child. In 2016, he was officially named a suspect. One theory is that Matthew, who was working a road construction job in the Shawano area at the time, allegedly murdered her and buried her remains under Highway 29, which was under construction in 1998. However, authorities have never found a trace of Amber despite multiple searches. Her disappearance is now being investigated as a potential homicide, with Matthew being the primary suspect. However, as of 2024, she has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. James Bernard Liedtke was born on September 6, 1990. In 2018, 28-year-old James, an Army veteran who served in Afghanistan, was an engineering student at the University of Wisconsin-Stout in Menominee, Wisconsin. On the night of November 3rd, 2018, James and several friends were celebrating at a friend's birthday by bar hopping on Water Street in Eau Claire. After visiting Shenanigans and the Pioneer Tavern, a very inebriated James got separated from his friends. At approximately 12:25 a.m. on Sunday, November 4th, James allegedly called one of his friends, but it's unclear what was said. He then tried to get into the Pickle Tavern, but due to his drunken state, the bouncer refused to let him in. He was then seen on surveillance at 1:13 a.m. walking east behind the Pickle Tavern towards a bike trail. After that, he was never seen again. After being reported missing, investigators checked his cell phone activity and noticed it was still on by 8:25 p.m. on November 4th. However, that activity could be a text message or incoming call and doesn't necessarily mean he was actively using the phone. They were, however, able to track the GPS coordinates of the phone and ended up in the 1100 block of Menominee Street near the Chippewa River. This location is about a mile from the Pickle Tavern. Unfortunately, a search of the river turned up nothing, and as of 2024, James has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Janiah Walker's mother, Tanisha Howard, described her daughter as a very sweet and very soft-spoken teenager. She said Janiah loved to bake bread from scratch and enjoyed watching the show Cupcake Wars. However, over the years, Janiah had become depressed and began engaging more with people online and less with her family. On June 23, 2022, 15-year-old Janiah had plans to get her work permit, and her father was going to take her. However, when he showed up at the house around 4 p.m., she was nowhere to be found. He tried calling her cell phone, but there was no answer. Tanisha also tried calling her, but all of her calls were going straight to voicemail. At that point, she knew something was seriously wrong. After a search of her turned up nothing, they reported her missing. Once investigators were involved, they discovered surveillance footage from a neighbor's Ring camera that showed Janiah leaving the house wearing a green Adidas shirt and carrying a large backpack at about 2:30 p.m. They also discovered that Janiah had attempted to contact her therapist at about 3:27 p.m. Later that night, she sent her therapist a text message saying she had run away from home. This case seems very similar to the Alicia Navarro case that I covered a while back. Just like Alicia, there's a possibility that Janiah will show back up once she is 18. Unfortunately, there hasn't been any contact with Janiah since her last text to her therapist, and as of 2024, she remains missing, and this case remains unsolved. Caitlin Letitia Kelly was born on December 18, 1997. In 2020, 22-year-old Caitlin was living in Shawano near the Menominee Reservation and worked at the Menominee Casino and Resort and North Star Mohican Casino Resort. In her spare time, she enjoyed swimming, camping, and spending time with her family. On the night of June 16, 2020, Caitlin was seen near County Highway VV and Silver Canoe Road at about 10:30 p.m. It's alleged that someone picked her up shortly afterward and drove her home. After arriving home, she posted on Facebook at about 3 a.m. saying that an unknown black SUV was parked in front of her apartment. Sadly, after that, she was never seen or heard from again. After her mother, Michelle Maureen, was unable to get in touch with her, she reported Caitlin missing on June 18th. The FBI, along with tribal police, searched for Caitlin and were able to find surveillance footage of her at a store and of her leaving the reservation the night she disappeared. Finally, months later, on March 21st, 2021, Caitlin's remains were found on the reservation, and an autopsy determined her death was the result of a homicide. Her cause of death has never been released. One theory is that the black SUV was made up, and whoever murdered her posted that on her Facebook account in order to throw off the investigation. If that's the case, whoever picked her up is likely the murderer. Plus, if someone did pick her up and they weren't involved, why haven't they come forward? Unfortunately, as of 2024, Caitlin's killer has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Laurie Jean Deppes was born in Wisconsin on September 17, 1971. In 1992, 20-year-old Laurie was living in Menasha, Wisconsin, and working at the graffiti store in the Fox River Mall in Grand Chute. She was described as an easygoing individual with a sense of adventure who was fun to be around. On August 19, 1992, with plans to spend the night at her boyfriend Mark's apartment, Laurie packed a bag and headed off to work. At 10 p.m., after her shift ended, a coworker walked her out to her car, a gray 1984 Volkswagen Rabbit. She then traveled around 8 miles to Mark's apartment in Appleton, arriving between 10:15 and 10:30 p.m. Mark was inside the apartment with his sister and a friend and heard her car pull up outside. They waited, expecting her to walk in at any moment, but sadly, she never did. Concerned, they went outside to check on her, but all they found was her car with a styrofoam cup of soda on the hood. At that point, they called the police and reported her missing. Investigators dusted the cup and found what they believed to be a male's fingerprint due to the size. Her boyfriend and others in the apartment that night were quickly cleared of involvement after they all passed polygraph exams. Unfortunately, years would go by with no solid leads. That is until 2010, when Larry Dwayne Hall confessed to kidnapping and murdering Laurie. He even gave them the location of her body, but a search of that area turned up nothing. Hall is estimated to have killed anywhere from 30 to 40 women. However, to date, he's only been charged with the murder of 15-year-old Jessica Roach. It remains unclear if Larry Hall was really responsible for her disappearance or not, but he was known for falsely confessing to other crimes. Another potential suspect is a 19-year-old man who worked at the Gap in the Fox River Mall, across from the graffiti store where Laurie worked. He also hung around the same group of employees as she did. The man had trouble with the law as a teenager and even spent time at the Rawhide Boys Ranch, which provides services to court-referred delinquents or at-risk boys. On the day she disappeared, he asked Laurie out, but she turned him down because she had a boyfriend. A witness said that he was visibly upset about the rejection. After work, he was supposed to go to a party at the Lincoln Mills Apartments in Appleton, but he was late by at least a couple of hours. When he finally did show up around midnight, he was acting strange and creeping everyone out. At one point during the night, he drew a sketch on a book from the graffiti store where Laurie worked that depicted a man standing behind a female with a knife around her neck. The suspect then left the apartment after the two women at the party expressed being disturbed and scared by the sketch. Unfortunately, investigators didn't learn about the suspect until a few months after Laurie's disappearance. By this time, the suspect's car had been crushed and sold for scrap. Since then, he has been uncooperative and has refused to take a polygraph. Also, after she went missing, all her friends from the mall helped search for her, except for this guy. He has since lived a life of crime that involves violence against women. He eventually moved out of Wisconsin and now lives in California. The man's identity has never been made public, but he definitely seems like the most promising suspect to date. Unfortunately, they lack the evidence to rule him out or arrest him, and as of 2024, Laurie has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Thanks for joining me today on Southern Girl Crime Stories. Please be sure to check out my YouTube channel for these stories, along with photos of victims, suspects, location of murders, and more. As always, your support is very much appreciated, and I look forward to seeing y'all next time.